And now, as we continue with our studies in the Epistle of James, I want to read a few verses at the end of chapter 2. The Epistle of James, chapter 2, reading at verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? By works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then, how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, that sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Sure, the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bow our hearts in thy holy presence. We acknowledge thee again as the God in whom we live and move and have our being. We depend on thee day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. We do pray now that these verses we have read may come as a challenge to all our hearts. Bless them now to every listener, and may the blessings that we all stand in need of be our portion from thee today, and may thy name be glorified. We ask it in the Saviour's precious name. Amen. Now, as we come to these closing verses of chapter 2, I remind you again that the writer is still dealing with the same subject. He's showing us here that profession in itself is not enough. Profession may have been made with the lips, but there must be something in the life to prove the profession that's made. In plain words, he's saying that what we say with the lips may be a confession or a profession of faith, but it's the actions of the life that become the proof of the confession. Now, we get it clear again, remember this, that so far as we are concerned, you are not saved by works. It's perfectly clear that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul makes that perfectly clear in Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He's dealing there with how a man is accepted by God, how a man is justified with God. In modern language, how a man is saved. But then I always remember this, that following right after that, Paul emphasizes another great truth. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. So that we remind you again that James and Paul are not at variance in the least with regards to the doctrines that they make known. What Paul emphasizes is how a man is justified with God, justified on the basis of faith. For being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then when he comes here to the epistle to the Ephesians, he tells us, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. But following that initial expression of faith, then of course there is the life to be lived. And that life to be lived must be a life that produces works, because he says we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now that fits in perfectly with what James is teaching in his epistle. It's not what a man says that really counts, but it's how he puts his faith into practice. If his faith doesn't work, if there is no evidence of faith, you've no right to believe that the man has exercised faith. Now, we were showing that in the life of Abraham. But some may raise an objection and say, but Abraham was a very special man, and Abraham received extraordinary revelations from God. For did not the God of glory appear to him when he was still down in Ur of the Chaldees? And that's perfectly true. The Bible teaches that. Therefore, says someone, it was easy for him to express his faith and perform the works. Well, I'm not so sure that it was any easier for Abraham than it would be for any of us today. It must have been a great move for Abraham when God called him to leave his country and leave his kindred, and not knowing where he was going, just going with God. It must have been a great test for Abraham when he had received the promises from God, and yet he had no seed, he had no son, no heir. And God says, never mind, Abraham, you may be an old man, but remember this, you'll still have a son that will come out of your loins, and Sarah will give you a son, and the promises will be to him, and I'll keep my promises that I've given to you, I'll keep them, and I'll confirm them with Isaac. Abraham could hardly understand that, but he did. He believed God, even when it seemed impossible for the thing to take place. So far as the human point was concerned, it was impossible, but from God's point of view, all things are possible to God. And so Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. Then the day came, as we pointed out in the last study, how that Abraham's faith was tested. Now then, you're liable to say it was easy. No, it was no easy matter for Abraham, but he produced the works in his life which proved that he had faith in God. If such be the case, of course, then James calls his fourth witness in the person of Rahab, the harlot of Jericho. Remember, I have been pressing this, that James brings forth four witnesses. He puts them on the witness stand. He cross-examines them. Two of them are disproved and rejected. They're not genuine. But now he brings Abraham in as his third witness. Abraham stands the test. Abraham proves that his faith was genuine, and he proved that that faith was genuine because of his works, the work of faith. And then, of course, in case you should say it was easy for Abraham, he was a special man, he received special revelations from God. Now, says James, I'll bring in the fourth witness. And the fourth witness is Rahab the harlot. Now remember, Rahab was a woman who belonged to a heathen nation. She lived in a city that was given over to sin, a wicked city. And yet she was a sinner living in that wicked city. Now then, this harlot Rahab is found four different places in the Bible. Historically, you get to know about her away back in the book of Joshua. And then you find her name mentioned in Matthew chapter 1 in connection with that famous genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Her name is there. Then again, you find her mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter dealing with the heroes of faith. She's mentioned there. And now here James mentions this woman also. And so she goes down as one of the characters of the Bible in what you might call the Hall of Fame. Now then, I wonder why James should mention her in his letter. He has mentioned Abraham, but now he says, likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? Then he tells us when she was justified by works. That was when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Now, it's interesting to go down through this particular passage and discover what she believed at that time. If you go back to the book of Joshua and learn about Rahab, when the men who were sent in as spies came into the city of Jericho to spy out that particular city, because that was to be the first city that the children of Israel would capture and destroy as they were coming in to take possession of the land of Canaan. But now, when they got in there, into that city, and they came to the house of Rahab, she was able to give this testimony to the two spies that she hid up on the roof of her house. She said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, that your terror is fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Now the question arises, how did she know that? And here is the answer. For she said, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. Now that gives us the key to this woman's faith. Here was a woman, and she had exercised faith on the strength of what she heard. And now, I remind you of this great biblical principle. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This woman heard what God had done. She heard that God had been with the children of Israel. She heard how that by a mighty power he dried up the Red Sea and brought them over. Then she had followed the history of these people. Now remember, she's thinking and talking now of something that had taken place 40 years before this. But she had heard the message. She knew about God. And so therefore, because she knew that the Lord was their God, and she said, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Could you think of anything better as a testimony? This woman brought up in a heathen land, a member of a heathen nation, a member of a nation that was condemned by God. The city she lived in was about to be overthrown by God. Yet this woman expresses by lip, by mouth, if you like, by words, her confidence in God. That was the expression of her faith. But now, what James is saying in his letter is this, regarding the harlot Rahab, he's talking about her works. Now, when he speaks about her works, this took place at the particular time when she hid the two spies. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? What James is saying is this. There was a time when this woman, deep down in her heart, expressed her faith. She had faith in God. She had learned that God was the living God. She had learned that the Lord God was the Lord of heaven and earth. She knew this. The question arises, did anyone else know it? Did any of her friends know it, that she had placed her confidence and her faith in God? But there came the time when her faith was put to the test. And at the time when her faith was put to the test, she proved her faith by her works. She took the two men who had come in, who were Israelites. She took them into her house. She sheltered them from their enemies. She let them down the wall, and she asked for a token. She asked, as it were, for a pledge. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father, my mother, my brother, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. The men answered her, our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, Get you to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And listen now to what men said to her. And the men said unto her, We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. Thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. Now, get the point. Here was a woman who had been thoroughly convinced in her own soul that the Lord was the living God. She believed that. There came the time when that faith, which of course must have been known to God, for he can read the heart, he knows the very thoughts and intents of the heart, but her faith was put to the test. She rose to the occasion, and she expressed her faith to the two spies. Then to prove it, she hid them from their enemies. She let them down the wall in a basket. Now she says, when you come in and you take possession of the city, will you show kindness to me? And the pledge and the covenant was made, and she was to bind this scarlet rope in the window. Here was a woman then, said James. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? Of course she was. Of course she was justified before God by her faith. But her faith was justified to men by her works. So therefore, a harlot Rahab. Now we cannot minimize what she was. But it's a remarkable thing that James should show us that this woman, who was only a sinful woman, should exercise faith in God, and her faith became, as it were, a faith that was manifested by her works. How that fits in, I remind you again, of the teachings also of other scriptures, where the apostle tells us that by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Here was a woman who showed by her good works that she had definitely exercised faith in Christ. Now, it's a very remarkable thing then, as I have indicated. This woman, first of all, is introduced to us in a historical record away back in the book of Joshua. And we simply have the record of what she did and what she said. Yet, when you come to the pages of the New Testament, her name is mentioned when we come to that famous genealogy in Matthew chapter 1. There she's mentioned in verse 5, where it says, And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Now here is a woman whose name is brought into the genealogy. She's brought into a connection with the Lord Jesus Christ, and she comes in this line that leads you right down to a man who was called Joseph, who became the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus. In fact, she was one from whom David came, and then David, you remember, became the great king. She has a place in the genealogy, brought into a true living relationship with he who was to be the king of Israel. That's what faith can do, and works will prove our faith. But now when you come to Hebrews chapter 11, which is the great hall of fame of the heroes of faith, this woman has a place there. Now it's very remarkable that in Matthew chapter 1, in that genealogy, there are 5 women mentioned there. And when you come to the epistle to the Hebrews, dealing with the great heroes of faith, there's a number of women mentioned here. Sarah, the wife of Abraham, is mentioned. And then the mother of Moses is mentioned. And then we have Rahab mentioned. And it says concerning Rahab, By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And so Rahab, she who may have been despised by others, a member of a despised race, a member of a race that God had condemned, a race was to be overthrown, living in a city that was to be destroyed. Yet this woman was able to exercise faith. She was able to prove her faith, and her name has gone down in the records of history as a great woman. Now then, you cannot find any reason or any excuse here when you come to examine Rahab. You may try to excuse yourself when James mentions Abraham and the great man, how he exercised faith and proved his faith by his works. But then, right behind that, he mentions Rahab the harlot. So therefore, I care not who you are, my friend, whether you have been an ultra-religious person, or whether you've been like Rahab, down at the last rung of the social ladder. You may be despised by others. Now James is telling us this. It's possible for the sinner at the lowest ebb to turn and exercise faith in God. And the one who exercises faith in God will prove if his faith is genuine by the works that follow. For here was a woman whose works followed on her expression of faith. She proved it by what she did. She not only let the man down by the window with his cord, but when the time came for the armies of Israel to come and destroy the city, she let the cord down through the window again, and there was the token that was given to her. She believed what she was told. She exercised faith, and she proved it by her works. And Rahab the harlot perished not with those that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. So therefore you can bring yourself in there. You also can exercise faith. You know, there are two things in the Word of God that are closely joined together. That is repentance and faith. Where there is repentance towards God, there will be faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Rahab's case, she must have repented, or she believed the message she had heard. Not only was there repentance, but there was the exercise of faith. Then there were the works to prove it. She was a genuine believer. She turned to God. Now James uses her name here. And then he seems to conclude this little passage where he's been showing the genuineness of faith and the spuriousness of faith. For you always have the spurious thing over against that which is genuine. He says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." The body without the spirit, that is a body without breath. A body without breath is just a corpse. It can't produce anything. It can't do any works. But when the body is alive, when breath is in the body, when there's life there, that body can produce something. That person can work. Now he says, take the illustration. There may be a body, but if there's no breath in it, if there's no spirit in it, it's dead. So no matter what you say, you may express faith and say what you believe and what you think you believe, but if there's no works to prove it, he says it's a dead faith. That causes each of us to test ourselves by divine standards. Do we have that quality of faith that the Bible calls saving faith? It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.